You turn again with me to the portion we read, Matthew chapter 25. And taking our text this evening from verse 34. Verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and took me in." And so on. It is often a dilemma for ourselves, particularly of the Reformed faith, of having the right balance between faith and works. And sometimes I believe that far too often that we shy away from works, not that we put it above faith, but sometimes there's a danger that we may be imagining that works will be seen in any way whatsoever by anyone, as if we're depending on it for our salvation. But it is clear from Scripture that there is a place for works if we are Christians, if we are those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that works arising not from a desire to please God in the sense of that he would accept us because of our works, but they should be there surely if we are already have come to know Christ. These works should indeed follow us, and works of all kinds should follow us, as we have it here in the chapter that the Lord is making clear to them, that it wasn't just, as it were, directly regarding himself that good was shown, but to those who are his people as well. And I am sure that you, as I do, have struggled with that at times, about how far do you go, or what do you do, or what do you get involved in? Would that be seen in any way that we were trying to put a hand in our own salvation? But we can make it also, can we not, an excuse for doing nothing at all at times. And the Bible then makes clear that there is a place for good works. And in what way? Well, as we have it here, as I said, as we have it here in caring and being concerned for the Lord's people around us, and those particularly who are in need. And it is so beautifully illustrated here by the Lord in doing anything, even a cup of cold water, as it's written in his name, it should be seen and should be done by us in honour of what Christ, as it were, has done for ourselves. And so we hear that the righteous are commended for doing that, despite them not doing it in any way whatsoever to look forward, as it were, for reward for it. They said, when did we see hungry or fed thee or thirsty and give thee drink? When did we ever do that? We don't recognize that. But there you see is the way it should be done. It is it not what the Lord speaks elsewhere about not lifting thy left hand over what thy right hand does? It speaks about the Pharisees who did so many things openly so others would see that they were doing what they were doing in their own religious way. And so what we have here is doing it in a way that would be honouring to God, in that they are doing it with a right desire because of who they are doing it, and the connection obviously between who they're doing it for and the one that the Lord of them all. We are told, of course, that well-known text in James, faith without works is dead. And so then here we have a picture. Here they are now, there's this picture of looking forward to the day of judgment. And it's the same thing that is used in the picture here, hunger and thirsty and stranger and took me in and so on. And yet it is brought out, it's not saying that those who did not believe that they were doing this trying to gain, but they never saw anything at all, saw no need whatsoever. And so they didn't do what they should have been doing. The picture here then, the great separation of the day of judgment and the proof for those who love the Lord and those who don't. That really what it comes down to. The proof that is here, loving the Lord, and it is in what they were doing, that works that followed faith in their lives. And so we see there is this, at the end of the day, there is a great reward for the believer. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to think about that reward, that glory, that heaven tonight that we all seek after. To see it in this way, it is a place that is promised. It's a place that's prepared. And it is a place that's possessed, ultimately. So then, first of all, a place that is promised place is what we have here when it speaks about the kingdom that is prepared. It is a place. It is a place that even in the Old Testament spoken, Isaiah speaks about a place where there's no more hunger or thirst. It is a place that the psalmist in Psalm 16 speaks about, as at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. The Lord himself speaks about the house of many mansions. Great is your reward in heaven. So all these things pointed to a place that is there, the heavenly Jerusalem as we have it in Hebrews, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, says Peter, and so on. Time and time again, there is the picture given to us that heaven is not just a state, that it is a place that is promised for the Lord's people. And so when the Lord is telling us here, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, what do you say? It's an invite to a promised place. And that is the picture we have on that great day of the last day in this world. There will be that invite to a place that is promised. Now, of course, our initial entrance, as it were, into glory, it doesn't begin at our death. The first steps into it, toward it, as it were, doesn't begin with the moment of our death, but when we enter into a state of grace. And here tonight, friend, if you're a Christian, if you're in that state of grace, well, that promise is for you. And that is a promise that you can lay hold of. It's a promise that you can believe. There's a place for me. The Lord has reserved a place for me in glory. And that should encourage us in a day of difficulties and trials. Grace, the state of grace, friends, guarantees the state of glory for any. What do they say? Grace has been said is but glory in the bud. And so here you are tonight, still in this world, but if you're a Christian, there is this guarantee that you have. Any and all in a state of grace now will inevitably and assuredly be one day in that state of glory. But it is also, I said, more than a state. It is a place. Glory, heaven itself. It is a place that has been prepared, as we shall see. But there's a promise here for all. It is, you see, it's not only if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable, the apostle says, and that is true. If this is all that was, there was, this is not all that there is. There is that promise for the Christian, for the Lord's people, that they will be in that place that he himself, where he himself is, and that we will be there, body and soul. We know, of course, that Christ has gone before us. that Christ, having taken our nature, that he has now returned to the right hand of God, that he is there now with that body and soul united together. That here we have an amazing thing, that Christ in our nature is now there in that place, in a place that is hers, in a place that belongs to his people as well. There with a human nature, but there sin as the one who reigns. He is there as the one who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one who is enthroned. How is he enthroned now? Having finished the work that was given him to do. And now he is at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In that place. It is so often with us that we tend to have a, if I can say, speaking of Reverend, an airy-fairy idea of heaven. Somewhere in the clouds, you get the picture you see so often with some who try to mock these things. But friends, we have to remember it's a place that is there already prepared. And he is there as the King here, as we have it in the text. And he gives this glorious invitation. That's the picture we have. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A glorious invitation. To whom? The blessed of the Father. Those who are believers. Those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. And who are those who are the blessed of the Father? We read elsewhere, those whom the Father hath given me. For what purpose were they given him? That they may be with me where I am. Where I am. And so, friends, there's a great encouragement for us in these things, that the Lord has done this for us. And the proof of our life, the proof that we will be with him where he is, of course, there is faith for yourself and myself, but it is this, is it not, that there is that proof in the way that we live, the lifestyle. That's the picture here, that they were, when people were hungry, we fed them, thirsty, we gave them drink, stranger took it in. Not that we are earning heaven, but it what follows being blessed of the Father. It follows those who have come to know him. They cannot but do this. Those who then will inherit this kingdom. That's the question, is it, tonight? You ask yourself, son, as well, am I a Christian? Well, here are some guidelines for us. How do we live in this life? Oh, you say, well, I've got faith. You know, I think, friends, that one of the great difficulties, and I'm sure it's for yourselves, as it certainly it is with me and the church that I belong to, that there is so little done apart from appearing in a Lord's Day service, twice maybe, and then midweek meeting. And sadly, I would say that the large 99%, sorry to say, maybe less, of our Christianity is involved just in these three services in the week for us. And there is little of reaching out to others. There is little of showing Christ to the community. Little of showing that we have been saved and redeemed, and we're doing this because we know that the Lord has a place for us and we owe him all that we are and all that we have. And so that is this where an inherited, a kingdom that is to be inherited. And come, enter into the joy of the Lord. Come where the angels veil their faces, where they cry, holy, holy, holy. A place where there will be no more sin. A place where there will be no night there. A place where there will be no sorrow. Where there will be intimate fellowship forever in this place. A place where you're happiness and your contentment continues to grow at all times. You know the way sometimes we say, and there's a truth in it. Well, even as Christians, we can, you know, yourself, you've got a wonderful time of fellowship or in a service or whatever, and you think, well, I couldn't be happier than I am now. But our friend, you will be. The best you have in this life is just a little foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. in that place that has been prepared for you, prepared by Himself. And there we will continue to grow in knowledge, and there we will continue to grow in our love for Christ, place where you'll have fellowship with Himself, a place where you'll have fellowship with those who have gone before. And we all have them. You have them in this congregation, in your families and friends, those who have gone before. There will be that fellowship in this place where there is true liberty, true freedom, true love for one another, where war is turned into peace forever, where there's from temptations of this world to sinlessness there, from the company of this world and the devilish influence in this world to the company of holy angels. Nothing to separate us any longer from the love of Christ. Friend, do you think about that? How much of it do you think about? How prepared are you and preparing yourself, as it were, for this? Let us be encouraged then. Encourage ourselves in the day, the dark day that we live in. And you know, that day may be nearer than we realize. How quickly it can happen. There's somebody who's a classmate of my own, who this week itself, who felt a bit unwell, and within 3 minutes she's in eternity. How quickly it can happen. Thankfully, I believe that she was the Lord's. Just so quickly, unexpected, but it's to be ready for it whenever it comes. And dear friends, are you ready? Am I ready? Am I preparing for this promised place that is there, set out by the Lord Himself? How true it is then, if we would but think that the best is yet to come, that it awaits us, that it is there before us. Heaven's gate, friend, will not be shut until you who love Him get in. You know, even if you'll be the last person to enter in, who knows? But you know, we often think about, or at least occasionally think about this, when will this be, when the end of the world will come? Never mind our own. Maybe even the last person who's going to be saved has already been born in the world. We don't know. But the question is for ourselves. Have we been born again? Are we those who are looking to this place that has been prepared? The wonder of it, that it is there and He has done this for us. Come, inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom. A place that is already there. An inheritance is something that is there before us. I was reading recently about an old man, and he was working away in his garden, and the minister passed by, and he heard him singing away and seemed to be very happy. And the minister asked him, "What are you thinking about?" "Well," he says, "as I'm digging here," he says, "I'm just thinking, if the crumbs of joy that fall to me from my master's table in this world are so good and precious, what will the whole loaf be like in glory?" And that's what awaits, friends. The whole loaf in glory. And how we need to look to that day, to encourage ourselves. Ah, friends, what a place glory is, a place that is promised. But it's therefore, because it is promised, it is, as I mentioned, but look at more, it is also a place that is prepared. It is a promised place, it is a prepared place. A prepared place. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Christ Himself said elsewhere, doesn't He say to us, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, it is glorious because He is there. This prepared place, He makes it glorious in and of Himself. the Lamb, as it says elsewhere, the writer says, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. We read elsewhere that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man, the things God hath prepared for them that love him. God has prepared for them that love him. Now some people see that as to do even as we are now in this world, and there's a truth in it. But surely the greater truth, as it were, is what is there awaiting, heaven awaiting for the Lord's people. This wonderful prepared place. We read in Revelation something there, something similar that is spoken about there when it speaks about the holy city, New Jerusalem, prepared and as a bride adorned for her husband. There's a beauty about it. There's a beauty in it. There's a beauty in the preparation of it. And how beautiful for his people it will be. And friends, what is going to be there in this place that is already prepared? This place that already, if you are hers, your name is written in that book of life. There is a place there for you. There is a place that has been set aside for you, that nobody else can have access to, as it were. It is for you, for those who love the Lord. What glory and beauty that is there, of course, already. The place that has been prepared from the foundation, from the foundation of the world. There is that. It's all been predestinated. It is all there. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, a place prepared. You see, heaven is not an afterthought on the part of God. It is a place that has been there ready for his own. I don't know if you ever think about the first person who entered into glory. What must it have been like? And we think about probably Abel would it be. But then they are coming, and they will come, and they will come, the multitudes will come who have come to know the Lord. So then we have heaven is a prepared place for our prepared people. And that is what this life is all about for us, friends. It really should be a life where we prepare ourselves for heaven. Preparing yourselves for that prepared place. Can you say that tonight? I am preparing for it. That's what my life is all about. Well, of course, we can only do that through faith in Christ, trusting in Christ, believing in him. And when we are, friends, let none of us who believe in Christ, who are Christians here tonight, sit back and think, well, that is it. And is that the danger with us at times? All the need we have to prepare ourselves. He has chosen us indeed. He has prepared a place for us. We have to, as it were, seek to prepare ourselves. Isn't that what we should be doing? And God's eternal purpose are seen here in not just choosing a people, but preparing a place for them. So do you have that hope tonight? Are you amongst that people being sure of this, not with an unholy boldness, but believing the word and trusting that he will be true to the word, yea and amen in Christ Jesus? Well, friend, what can be our ground for our hope? Is it this good works? No. Not even the good things that we read about here that they did for the thirsty and the hungry and the naked and so on. That's not the ground of their hope. And surely it's not the ground of your hope either tonight. Faith in Christ is the only ground of hope for anyone at all. And it's not, there's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No man can come to the Father except by me. Whatever anybody else says, whatever any other religion says, whatever any other so-called Christian says, this is the only way. And there is no other way to get to this prepared place. And so we see here faith in Christ showed that you are blessed of the Father. not our good works. If you are blessed of the Father, you will have faith in Christ. If you have faith in Christ, it shows that you are blessed of the Father. And so when the Lord says elsewhere, I go to prepare a place for you. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? You may be thinking, well, he's going to prepare it. Was there not a place prepared before? Haven't we just been saying that there was a place prepared? Isn't that what our text says to us here? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, going back all the way, not from the beginning of time, but there prepared. Does that mean, what then does it mean when Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you? Well, there is a preparation, and somebody has put it quite well in this. He said, I see it, he said, as an idea of some who are going on a journey, and one goes ahead of them to ensure that the place that has been booked to lodge in for the night is all prepared with everything that they need. That idea, Christ going to prepare. And dear friends, what is the great thing that we look forward to in glory? What would it be without himself? Nothing. He is all the glory there. And in that way, there is a preparation, much more that we could say about that, but that surely is part of it as well. He's going ahead of them. He is the one, of course, we know who is the forerunner. He is the one who is saying, without my death, there will be no place for you. Without my ascension, without my sending the Spirit, you would not be ready for this place. And so here he is going ahead of them to prepare for his own. So friends, here is the hope that we have tonight. He is there awaiting. He is prepared, he has done all, and he is a prepared place. And here, as scripture tells us elsewhere, we have no continuing city. But here also, he is preparing a place, prepared for them a city indeed, as we have it in Hebrews 11. And that for you and I as well. He is the one who has promised the place, he has prepared the place. It is also a place to be possessed then, a place possessed. By whom? Well, Christ is there, of course, before us. He is the firstborn from the dead. But who is it prepared for? By those who it was prepared for, who are they? The blessed of the Father. The blessed of the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Now, while works, as we have it here, follow faith, as proof of faith, we only take possession of glory by birthright. What we mean by that is, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's the birthright needed to claim your right to heaven, to be born again. That's what's needed, and nothing else will do. And in doing that, then, friends, we can possess and will possess heaven. In the principal sense, it is the idea that here we have a right to heaven through Christ, the place that has been prepared, that they inherit the kingdom, an inheritance. It's an inheritance. It is something that has been already purchased for us, we know, by the one who has gone before us and the one who has prepared all before us. And then there's that inheritance then that the Lord's people will take, as it were, possession of. And so, through faith in Christ, the Christian has a glorious inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for you. Remember these words, reserved in heaven for you. That's what awaits, a glorious inheritance, heaven itself, with all its glory, with all its beauty, with all its indescribable holiness, is what awaits the Lord's people. Indeed, here we have no continuing city. What we have here will be left behind. All our possessions, all that we have, all our loved ones, we'll be separated from them at some time in this world. But heaven possessed, friends, it's an eternal possession, as nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall separate you from heaven. It is a possession that is yours by right, by Christ, and He in your room and stead. And this is the hope that is ours. As an heir of God, I always marvel at these words, a joint heir with Christ. What does that mean, really, if you stop to think about it? A joint heir with Christ. Heaven, friends, is our hope. Amazing language indeed. But that's what the Bible tells us. The glory is there awaiting. Are you waiting for it? Are you looking to that day? It's guaranteed, because as believers, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there is heaven, there is Christ, having prepared all, having promised it, and now it is for the Christian to possess it one day. And in a sense, as I said earlier, we have title to it. Now in this world, even as Christians, we have many highs and lows. Yes, even moments, maybe briefly at times, of great joy and great peace in this life. We can have that. And we can have fleeting thoughts of glory with Christ. And we can have times of the sense of, oh, I wish it was now. Fleeting moments of endless peace with God. But there, friends, there will be no way that anything will disturb that peace and that joy and that contentment. Contentment uninterrupted. When body and soul are reunited on that great day, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump sounded, we shall be changed, Scripture says. And why is that changed? Because we are entering into glory. When body and soul go together, we know that at the death, believers immediately, their souls immediately pass into glory. But then there's the resurrection, when there will be a fulfillment of all, and when all the Lord's people will be where He is Himself, body and soul. And at that moment, there will be a possession taken of heaven as never before, without another moment's doubt in this world. Oh, maybe you're saying, well, I just feel so unprepared. I wonder, should I really have any hope at all? I look at my lack of faith. I look at my lack of holiness. I see my lack of love. I'm so fickle, I'm so taken up of myself, I'm so easily tempted by the world. Look at my lack of good works that I read about here. Can I have any hope at all? Well, friends, we have to remember that in this life we are still facing sin and struggling with our own sinful natures. But while we are regenerated, we're not perfectly holy. And it is only when we are perfectly holy, and that will only be seen and felt, as it were, by us on that great day when we will be forever with the Lord. Oh, I know that it can be seen and spoken about even how it is now with the soul in glory. But when we go through the gate of death and resurrection, there'll be a holiness then that belongs to us, that enables us, as it were, to be part of heaven and to possess heaven. And in that way, friends, we can look forward to it. Do you look forward to it? Well, you should. But there's one thing we have to remember, while we are not what we would want to be, that we are as safe, if you are the Lord's here tonight, you're as safe in his arms tonight as those who are already in glory. That's not to say you won't have difficulties. But you see, what you are tonight in a state of grace assures you, and you can't be assured, that you will be in a state of glory. So in that way, you're as safe in a state of grace as you will be in a state of glory. And those who are in heaven by the Spirit's souls of just men in heaven tonight, they are safe there. But so are you and I if we are the Lord. But you see, to be there is what we desire. To be in that place. That doesn't mean to say that because, well, I'm a Christian, and you hear it so often, this antinomianism, well, I'm a Christian, so I can do what I like and I can go where I like. How much that has come into our own day. Our friends, if we are the Christians, here is how we should live. Here is how we should care for others. Here is how we live out our Christian lives in this world. Doing for those who are naked and those who are sick and in prison and so on. Living out the Christian life, caring for the other Christians and those who are in need, who are the Lord's around us. To be in heaven then, in that prepared place, we can take possession of it and will take possession of it one day. But you know, in another sense, friends, heaven must be in us before we're in heaven. We must have Christ to have any hope of heaven. But then, as I conclude, what about the others mentioned here? These awful words. I was an hunger and you gave me no meat and so on. I was a stranger, you took me not in. What is he saying to them? Well, he is, depart from me. I never knew you. These fearful words. Insomuch you did not, the least of these, you did it not unto me. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Here is this great day of separation now. Here is this awful day that we read about, we are told about. And no one can ignore him on that day. No one. When we think about it, if we dare even think about it. There's those who are there, come ye blessed of my Father, and that those depart from me, ye cursed. Oh, it's a fearful thought. You know, friends, how can we, and oh, I speak to myself here, believe me. And I see around me my own flesh and blood who are on the broad road, as far as I can see, knowing what their end is going to be. I know what their end is going to be. They might not believe it. What am I doing about it? What am I doing to seek to bring them to see their own name? This separation, a fearful thing, the horror of it. For those on that day who will see, there'll be no horror for the Christian. They'll put their amen to the justice of God. But for those without Christ, seeing this final parting, maybe from those that they thought would ensure their own salvation. How many people are like that? Because the fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, well, they're Christians. They look after me. Friends, it's for ourselves. Staring into the inevitable abyss of hell. Depart from me. I hope no one here is like that. Well, what we mustn't wait until that way. That day will be too late. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There is a day coming then when we are going to be with Christ or to be cast away from him. A wonderful thought. Let us, Christian tonight, let us encourage ourselves. Let us encourage ourselves that there is the idea, and it might not be far from some of us, for any of us and all of us indeed, till we shall leave this land of the dead. Wasn't it someone who once said, a man went to see his friend, a Christian, two Christians, and he was dying. The old man was dying and he was lying in his bed. And he knew he was dying, and his friend said to him as he stood over him, he said, now you're soon going to leave the land of the living. And he said, oh no, not at all, he said. What I'll be doing is leaving the land of the dead to go to the land of the living. Dear friend, do you have that hope tonight that the Lord is saying, come, ye blessed of my Father? Let us pray. Oh, blessed Lord, we pray for thy Holy Spirit to work. Encourage thy beloved people, for they are beloved indeed. In a dark and cloudy day, may they know something afresh in their lives of the sunshine shining upon them, of beams from heaven warming their souls and rejoicing in it. And if there be amongst us those who are still strangers to thy grace, that they would realize what awaits them if they die without Christ, just as heaven is a prepared place, so also hell is a prepared place. And we pray, Lord, that there would be then, even amongst us here tonight, a desire to shun that awful place and to seek after heaven, where Christ is, who has gone before to prepare a place for us. So, Lord, we ask then that thou would enable us to look to thyself anew and to depend upon thee wholly and rejoice in the truth that thou dost love us and that thou hast prepared heaven for us. For Jesus' sake we pray it. Amen. We'll sing now in Psalm 73, the 73rd Psalm. And at verse 23. Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand and still upholdest me. Thou with thy counsel while I live will me conduct and guide, and to thy glory afterward receive me to abide. To the end of the psalm, Psalm 73 from 23. Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee.
Nevertheless, continually,
I
of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest on and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.